It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 585. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. Email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. I still got to test this. I haven't at any time. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Now, I received a voicemail that I haven't even gotten to. So I'm definitely getting some voicemails, but I don't know if it's someone who dialed the phone number or did they just use Skype and connect via Mike Tech Show? I will investigate and solve that. Wait to hear what I've been working on for the content here for the show and what I went through this past week. Oh my. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, facebook.com/MikeTechShow, and also MikeNationNet. And we have the wiki at mtswiki.com. So as I was alluding to tonight, we're going to talk about Windows 7 updates again. I have two emails I'm going to read. I ran into a terrible problem at a client on Saturday that canceled the Windows 10 migration on all four computers. But then I took one of the laptops. I'm going to describe the horrible process and how I discovered it and fixed it on Monday night. And it was because of a voicemail I read last week. You'll like this. It was a listener who really solved my problem. Just a little bit about Windows 10. Can't help it. We have to. Then I'm going to talk about my review of the Amazon Echo, which I now own. I've had it for a little bit more than a week. I've put it through its paces, and I'm going to discuss the good, the bad, the ugly. Then I have a couple comments on the new microphone I'm using and some post audio processing I'm going to do that hopefully will make the audio even better than it is. So let's get started and talk about Windows 7 updates. Why is it, no matter how many procedures I put together, every encounter with a machine where Windows 7 is not working, it's something different that fixes it. It's so frustrating. And I feel your pain with the emails that I'm receiving. And I wish I had a definitive process that I could give you and say, that works. I'm getting close. I'm getting a lot closer to that process because I did something that fixed four computers. On Saturday morning, my son and I are at a company where we got two desktops, two laptops to upgrade to Windows 10. We already put the solid state drives in the week before. We're now doing the Windows 10 upgrade. But you can't do that until you get the Windows 7 updates done. And we could not get any Windows 7 updates to work. As a matter of fact, all four of them were not updated from different times. At a different time, they basically went and failed, never to recover again for the Windows 7 updates. I'm going to tell you what I did. Then I'm going to read two emails. Last week, when I was doing the show, I read an email from Kevin, the computer doctor. I didn't pay close enough attention to that email. And now, experiencing this over the weekend, I brought one of the laptops home with me so I could try everything. And when I mean trying everything, I mean doing a complete reset, trying to apply patches. I have a website that I'm going to recommend that I think is the most complete, where you got to run an SFC scan. There's even a special program, SFC Fix. You have to run the System Update and Repair tool, the CERT, S-U-R-T. Then there's some registry edit hacks to try. Then there's a great script that you can download that changes the attributes for some files, stops three services, renames the software distribution folder, then restarts all those services. Well, that's part of the solution. So here's what I found that fixed this and also fixed the other three computers. We're now in a position to do Windows 10 because all the updates have happened. That script I highly recommend running and then rebooting your computer. Then unplug all networking, disable the Wi-Fi, pull the Ethernet cable, no networking whatsoever, and run the Windows 7 update fixer, and I'll have a link to it that I've linked several times in the past. Run that because now it won't get stuck on always checking. It'll go right to the update and actually install it. Then you reboot. Then I have WSUS offline. And to make it easy, since it's only 3 gig, I copied it to the downloads directory, that folder, and I ran it directly from that system. All the updates happened. Then you run it again. The WSUS offline updater, you run that until you read the message, there are no more updates to be applied. Now, if you actually check the regular Windows update, you'll get the Windows 10 ready to download. But that's not how I install. I still install according to what I talked about last week. I copy everything to a Windows 10 directory from the media creation tool. I have it already created. It's a 5.76 gig directory, and I launch from there. This way, no matter what funky bandwidth or anything you got going on, you're good. As a matter of fact, you can run the WSUS offline update with no networking. So this way, it'll really help. This is how I fixed the Windows 7 problem. But all of you have been sharing great solutions and tips. And I want to thank Kevin. I would have never thought in a million years to unplug the networking. And I didn't fix it until Monday night when I was editing last week's show. And I was listening to my show as I'm editing. And I listened to myself read Kevin's email. And I'm like, I've never tried that. Let me try it. I think that alone is a great tip. This literally came in minutes ago from Terry from Arizona. At work, I had a Windows 7 Pro computer with the Windows update error 8007000E. I've seen that. I tried everything I knew to fix the problem. Windows Update Troubleshooter, a couple of Microsoft fixits for updates, a Windows Update Reset Bat, and the Windows 7 Readiness Tool. The Windows Convenience Update also did not work. I finally ran across this link I sent you, and that corrected the problem. One of my coworkers had a Windows 7 computer with a different update error, and the fix in that link worked on the computer also. Terry, I want to thank you so much for that link. That link and the link that I discovered will be in the show notes. Terry, thank you so much for sharing that. This is from Robert. Again, updates and Windows 7. I am sure you have probably ran into this. Every time I do a clean install of Windows 7 and I try to update, it gets stuck on checking for updates. I have seen this run for 24 hours or more. The only way I have found is to use the WSUS offline updates. Once it has finished and I try to do Windows updates again, it works fine. If you have ran into this situation, what did you do to resolve it? On a new install, I will now run that Windows update client, and I'm going to do it pulling the network adapter. Then I think WSUS offline updater is great. I mean, even if it's a month old, that's still better than nothing. You're going to install a lot of things and just let it run. and it'll eventually update. Then you run it again, and you keep running it until no more updates to run. I will say this. Once I got Windows 10 installed, the updates were a lot better. The computer gods will punish me for saying the following. I have not run into any Windows 10 update problems. I just jinxed that. Another link from Jack in the Box in the chat room. He just posted a link that I'm also going to include in the show notes. This is one of those topics you can never have enough information. I'd love to hear your feedback on this. I'm sharing just a little sunlight into this problem that we're all running into. Don't know to be mad at Microsoft or glad. Glad because they're the gift that keeps on giving for consulting dollars. But it's frustrating. I want to be making money doing positive things, not things that are constantly broke like that. It's so painful because when you're waiting those hours, you can never get that for billing. You can never bill for the time it takes to redo the operating system. I always have to cap it at 2 hours because I spend five easily doing it. I guess it's all that wasted time that I'm also angry at. Everybody who's hearing this must have heard about the woman that wins the lawsuit over unwanted Windows 10 installation. A California woman was awarded $10,000 in a lawsuit over a batched Windows 10 installation. There's going to be more. I'm surprised that Microsoft settled. I wonder what Microsoft's lawsuit budget is for their aggressive guerrilla tactics in ramming Windows 10 down everybody's throat. I am very glad that someone has taken them to court and actually won a judgment. Well, actually, they settled. So I don't think it actually went to the final judgment, but they would have won anyway. And Microsoft knew that. That's why they had to pay it. Let's keep our ears and eyes open for more stories. I think it definitely encouraged what Microsoft's now doing, where you can opt out a lot easier. And they have to do that after it's no longer free. I think we're going to see some changes in the way Microsoft's pushing the Windows 10 upgrade, at least for the next 30 days, then it's no longer free. Which brings up the rush of upgrades and testing has just been unbelievable. I am going through here every weekend until the Toronto Unconvention, July 22nd through the 24th. Tickets are still available. You can still make it, and we would love to see you for the Unconvention. Again, that's July 22nd through the 24th in Toronto, Canada. If you're in the IT business, if you're thinking about it, if you have a repair business, consulting business, this is the place where you will gain tips, tricks to improve your business, solve problems, interact with everybody that's doing the same thing you're doing, and hearing from experts and learning from the mistakes we made so you don't have to. What would we do different? How to grow your business. These are key fundamental cores to your company that you're going to want to learn about. Links will be in my show notes. Tickets are $200, and that's so small compared to the information you're going to come away with. You'll have a great time up there. Couple updates here. Evernote, 2 nights ago, sent me an email, and you know how I love Evernote. I've been talking about Evernote since the day it came up. It has been unbelievable how crucial, how important it is to my business. I can't live without Evernote. And I have it. I counted up my devices. I have my Evernote account on 10 devices. That's right. I have my main Windows system. I have my iMac, my MacBook Pro, my iPad mini, my iPhone. I have it on 3 other laptops and 2 test systems, actually. So that's actually 11 devices. Well, I was informed that the free version will only work with 2 devices, and I have 30 days to upgrade to the premium so I can use it on unlimited devices. It's $69 for the premium version for the year. I gladly paid it because it is so critical for information on all of my clients that I have to go to. It's where I keep everything. Very important. So I wanted to just pass that on. If you're using Evernote and you have more than two devices or need more than two devices to use it on, they're going to get you to upgrade to the premium. Want to talk about the Amazon Echo. Now, I know that came out around, it's somewhere in 2014. It's now June 2016. I finally pull the trigger and buy the Amazon Echo. Now, the Amazon Echo is a cylindrical tower that will respond to your voice to perform different functions. It will sync with intelligent devices in your house. You can control your lights. It can sync to your Spotify account, your Pandora account, TuneIn, which I really like. I can get all my local radio stations. And you communicate it almost like Siri, but it's advanced, where the name is Alexa, and you say the name Alexa, she wakes up, and then you give it the command, and you got to give it in the right structure, and it'll perform those tasks. For what it does, it is very, very good. I like the fact that I can say, play Pearl Jam, Alexa, play Pearl Jam music, and it'll go through the Amazon Prime library and play Pearl Jam. Now, if I give a specific song and it's not free for my Amazon Prime account, it'll just play a sample of the song. I don't have a Spotify account, but I do have a Sirius XM radio account, and it will not work with that as of today. That is a huge problem for me because I constantly listen to XM radio, and I want to be able to say, Alexa, go to channel 71, which is Seriously Sinatra. Go to channel 22, Pearl Jam, 34, Lithium, 36, Alt Nation, or 6 for the 60s. I've just given you my music choices on XM radio. I want to be able to just wake it up and say, go to that channel. You can even say, go lower or higher for the volume. Very cool. But it will not link to XM radio account. And that's a simple thing because you get an app that you have to download to configure everything and get it to sync. It's an easy setup process, but you got to have a smartphone in order to activate everything because you have to download the app. Now, a tip, don't go to the App Store because it won't download. You actually have to go to Apple's mobile link, and they give that to you in the instructions. And you do that on your smartphone in, for my case, it was Safari on the iPhone, and then it'll download the app. You sign in with the account that your Amazon account, and you really need an Amazon Prime account. So you got this big cylinder that's the speaker. What if I want to play, I want to use Alexa, but play on my better Bose speakers, which are Bluetooth? Can't do that with this main unit. You have to buy a different unit. The main unit is $179. You have to buy an Amazon Dot, which is just a little like hockey puck, which has the same functionality, but there's no built-in speakers. That device I could pair to my Bluetooth speakers here in my office. I can't do that on the main Amazon Echo. You can use it as a speaker, but I can't replace that speaker with a better speaker. The speaker's just okay. It's not great. So if you want to use your existing speaker system, hey, you're like, wait, I could buy the cheaper $89 Amazon Dot. No, you can't. There's only one way to get the Amazon Dot. You have to own the Amazon Echo, and you got to use the Echo to purchase it. You can't even purchase the Dot online. You have to purchase it through the device. Now, I did that, and Alexa informed me that I'm not going to see it for 30 days because it's backordered. Sometime at the end of July, I will get my Amazon Dot, and when I do, I will report back if it did what it's supposed to do for me. And I really intend to do the following. I want the Amazon Dot paired with my Bose speaker that's Bluetooth in my office, and then in the bedroom on my nightstand have the Amazon Echo, because there I can get news and you can tailor your news briefs and what you're going to get. The detailed weather is excellent. So there's a lot of good things, and I can see the growth potential here where there's lots of room for improvements, where they can add a lot more functionality. The other missing piece is if you want to have the Echo look at your calendar and tell you what is on your calendar for the next day or the next week or how's traffic to my next appointment, well, you better have a Google Calendar and then sync that to your Echo. Well, I don't live in the Google Calendar. What about hosted Exchange servers and Outlook? And there's a big open door here. They got to allow the Echo device to sync with other email platforms. I want it to sync with iCloud. I want it to pull down my calendar from iCloud. A glaring omission here. A glaring omission is the connectivity to anything Apple related. It's like they've completely ignored Apple. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care how much you hate them. You can't ignore the presence of Apple and their services, their music. There's too much that Apple offers. You got to be able to access that through a device like this. That's the stuff I don't like. My final recommendation for this would be wait. Do not buy it now because there needs to be better functionality. There's more. I thought I was jumping on the bandwagon late. Looks like I'm jumping on early because there's still too much functionality missing. It's got to be able to connect to all email platforms. If you can get email, if you can put a calendar on your phone, however you're doing that, you got to be able to sync it with this device. I don't understand. It's just an app. You could just bring up your account information and get it to work. I don't want to hear those petty problems that they have, like Apple has with Adobe, or Amazon and Apple, Google and Microsoft, Google and Apple. To move into the future, we have to work together. Even Microsoft is allowing us to now run Linux in a window. Come on. Did you ever think that would happen? It's time for everybody to play nice with each other. And I think that's what I'm seeing here. I'm not seeing that the technology can't do it. I'm seeing companies that are not playing nice with each other so we can interact. Like, there's no reason that you can't work Sirius XM radio app and connect that to this device. There's just no reason for that. Let's hope that they will continue to improve this and it'll grow. I think there's a lot of tremendous potential here. It's just not there yet. Two final things, and I'm wrapping up. I don't know how this audio is sounding, and I'll know this when I edit the show and I get feedback from everybody, but this microphone is the first change I've made in 11 years of doing this podcast. I have been using the Shure SM58 for 11 years. I now have the Shure Beta 58A. That's what I'm talking into right now. I had to because Winston Wolfe was at the Gear Fest a couple weeks ago, and he was texting me all these great audio buys, and I was like, oh, you're killing me. You got send me the Beta, the Beta 58A, and another SM58, because that is the most durable mic on the planet, and it can't hurt to have a couple SM58s. As a matter of fact, I'm bringing two of my SM58s and long mic cables just in case we need them up at the convention in July. With that, Jeff Halish gave me some great advice last night to properly level my audio. And I think it pertains more to tech vets, where when I record with Carrie Holzman, we're doing this over Skype, and the Skype levels are up and down, up and down, up and down. There's a website that has a desktop app called Auphonic, Auphonic, Automatic Audio Post-Production. The Auphonic Leveler is an intelligent desktop batch audio file processor which analyzes your audio and connects level differences between speakers, between music and speech, and between multiple audio files to achieve a balanced overall loudness. I desperately need that. Even though I have the DBXL 266 gate compressor, I have the Audacity post-production effects that I've used, where I've used the compressor, I've used the normalize. If my audio will be just a little bit better with whatever tool I apply, I will do it because I want great audio. I'm always willing to listen and try. Here's crossing my fingers that this mic maybe made a little bit of improvement, and hopefully that software will help get better levels for the podcast. That's it. If you buy from Amazon or know anybody that purchases from Amazon, please use my Amazon link. I want to thank everybody for an incredible month of June, again, of using my link, amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same. A small percentage comes back to help support the Mike Tech Show. That's the best way to show your support of the show. And I thank you all for using that link, amazon.micnation.net. I want to thank Instant House Call for being a sponsor of this show. InstantHouseCall.com. Download the 15-day trial. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. There's no show next week because I'm going away for the weekend. Then there'll be a show before the unconvention. And then there'll be no show during the week where I'm up in Toronto. We got, over the next couple weeks, every other week, a show. I will see you in 2 weeks from now. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.